I completely remember what it was like in the early days of selling wholesale. I felt like I was winging every single decision. I was questioning everything that I was reading on the internet. I felt like I even reached the end of Google at one point because I was searching for so many different things. And I was craving a community of other product makers that I could tap into for answers, solutions, and just to share ideas with. Way back in 2008, when I was running my product-based business, that community did not exist. So I eventually created it. And since 2011, we have helped thousands of brands across industries and across the globe get their products on the shelves of stores big and small. Our PaperCamp alumni sell to big box stores like Anthropologie, Target, Macy's, and Barnes & Noble. But our best customers are the independent brick and mortar retail shops located around the world. Small businesses, just like all of the manufacturers that we support in our PaperCamp and our labs programs. Now, I very intentionally point this out here in the intro because I am going to be answering some questions that I received in an email about the importance of following industry standards, having strong wholesale terms and conditions, and why I never, ever, 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 ever want you to fulfill a $25 wholesale order. And I feel it's important for you to understand that our community focuses our energy and efforts on the independent shops. So my feedback in today's episode is coming from that perspective. But before we jump in, today's episode is brought to you by our Is Wholesale Right For You audio series. I will be honest with you, wholesale is not for everyone. But after listening to this audio series, I know two things will be true. You'll know whether you want to pursue wholesale for your product business, and two, you will have the confidence and action steps to get started. So you can access this free audio series at proof2product.com/privatepod. That's proof2product.com/privatepod.
I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started.
All right, so the other day I got an email from a woman named Jennifer who said, "I understand that there are conventions and industry standards when selling wholesale, particularly minimum order amounts and minimum reorder amounts and minimum order quantities, but I want to understand why these things exist." She asked if I had a podcast on this, and I did not have one, although this is something that we cover in depth in PaperCamp, but I thought I would record a quick one here and kind of answer the questions that she was asking, because if she's asking them, lots of you are probably curious too. She basically goes on to say that she has worked with 34 independent-owned shops, and most of them cannot put together a $150 order. Many of them ask to order in threes or fours rather than sixes, which are the industry standard for greeting cards, which Jennifer sells cards, so we're going to talk about that today. But she wants to understand why these rules exist for wholesale and what breaking those rules will mean for her brand. She also goes on to say that she's totally okay having an opening order amount of $25 so that she can accommodate more stores and make it easier for them to purchase. This is a really important lesson that folks who are just getting into wholesale do not understand and need to understand. So I want to take her questions piece by piece. The first one, why do I need wholesale terms and conditions? So there is a delicate balance at play when we are selling wholesale. We want to make it easy for our buyers to purchase our products. And at the same time, we need to make sure that fulfilling the wholesale order is worth our time and energy and effort. Selling wholesale is a volume game. Our terms and conditions set expectations for buyers, and it also creates boundaries for what makes financial and smart business sense for our company. So let's talk about the $25 wholesale order that she discussed. I'm going to run through some math right now, so you might want to push pause and grab a notebook so that you can follow along on paper, because I know sometimes when I'm hearing numbers, it gets a little bit convoluted, whereas if I can have the notebook to jot things down, I can follow along easier. So if you need to push pause right now, go grab a notebook, come back. It does not make financial or logistical sense to process a $25 wholesale order. You are very likely losing money on that sale once you factor in things like your cost of goods, time to pack, fulfill, and ship the order, not to mention time spent processing the order and communicating with your customer. So let's run through the math. For a $25 wholesale order, and we're going to use cards as an example since that's what Jennifer sells. For a $25 wholesale order, if we divide that by $2.75 per card, that rounds up to 10 cards in the order. Now, obviously, we're not going to be selling just 10 cards in one single order. That doesn't meet our MOQ and all that other stuff, but stick with me for this example. So this is 10 cards to satisfy the $25 wholesale order. And 10 cards with, let's say, cost of goods sold at 60 cents each. That includes the card, the envelope, the cello sleeve. We're not including time here. But just 60 cents per piece at 10 cards, that equals $6. Some of you listening are going to have higher costs, and that's okay. I'm just taking a number that is common in our community. Some people will have a lower price per piece. Some people will have a higher one. For this example, we're going with 60 cents, 10 cards, that's $6. So that brings us down to $19 so far when we subtract $6 from the $25 wholesale order. So we're at $19 profit so far. Now let's factor in shipping materials, tape, paper for the packing slip, paper for the shipping labels, or buying the shipping labels, ink for our printer, etc. Like, we're not going to include postage here because that's covered in the invoice by the buyers as a separate item, but like the boxes, the paper, the material, the tape, all that stuff. Let's just say that adds another dollar to our costs. So that brings us down to $18. Now we want to factor in our time. So let's say conservatively it takes 2 hours total to confirm the order with the customer, to pull the product, to package the product if you haven't done that already, to pack the box, to print the packing slip and the shipping label, to tape everything up, to send the shipping notification to the customer if you don't have that automated, calling for a mail pickup or dropping the package off at the post office or UPS center. You might be doing this yourself, or maybe you have a team member helping you. But either way, we need to be considering the going rate for this type of work when we're looking at the profitability here. So most of our community members are paying between $12 and $18 for fulfillment help. But this example, we're going to use $12 as the hourly wage just to keep things simple and clear. So 2 hours at $12 an hour is $24 for your time and labor for this particular order. So we were at $18 before, we're going to subtract $24, and now we have a $6 loss on this particular order. I can say with certainty that you are working far too hard to lose money on wholesale orders like this. We are running a business, and we should be making a profit on each and every order that is heading out the door, whether that's wholesale or direct to consumer. So we don't want to be fulfilling $25 wholesale orders. And I guarantee that if you run these numbers with your specific circumstances, you're going to find that it is not a smart decision to accept $25 wholesale orders. So if you have lowered your opening order amount during, the past few years, or if you have a no opening order amount, please reconsider that and increase your opening order amount to your industry standard. Now let's talk about $150 opening orders being a barrier for stores. This is one of the things she said. $150 is a barrier for stores. It creates a barrier for them to order. First off, A $150 order is not a barrier to entry for the shop owners. This is considered a smaller order in the wholesale world, and it is easy for a majority of stores to hit that opening order amount. Now, from the manufacturer's standpoint, $150 opening order and $100 reorder are common order minimums specifically for stationery and gift products. However, if a product line has higher priced goods or a larger selection of SKUs, that will warrant a higher opening order amount. And usually we make this in line with that brand's average order value. So if they have a higher average order value, we'll use that kind of as an anchor point when determining reorders and opening order amounts. And conversely, in this situation, if a brand has a smaller collection of SKUs, they will start with a smaller opening and reorder amount. Now, for perspective, most of my clients that sell stationery products have average order values in the range of $250 to $1,000 when selling to smaller independent boutiques. My clients that sell products like home decor, apparel, jewelry, and other higher priced items tend to have a higher average order value, usually in the range of $500 to $1,200 for an average order value. But their opening order values are higher than the 150 and 100 mark. They're usually closer to $250 or $300. Now, are some opening orders submitted, like are some people submitting orders at the opening order amount of $150? Yeah, absolutely. Will some stores ask for flexibility with that $150 and ask you to, you know, drop it to $125 or something? Yeah, they will. And that's okay. You can take this case by case and you can decide if you want to bend the rules for certain brands or certain stores or whatever it might be. But I always encourage folks to be stricter in writing with their terms and conditions and then flexible in practice. We have the power to do what we want here. And so if, you know, someone's asking for a accommodation, we can decide if we want to offer that or not. But we do need to run the numbers to make sure that we're still protecting our interest in this deal. Also, I will say tied to this that if a store is having trouble pulling together a $150 opening order, it is typically because the product line is not large enough or doesn't have enough variety. So the shop owner might want to wait until the product line is more developed before placing an order. They may want to watch and see what you're doing, how you're releasing new product. But a $150 order is not a barrier to entry for shop owners. And again, this is considered on the smaller side. It's not something that is going to necessarily deter a shop from ordering. Lastly, Jennifer asked what the repercussions would be if she chose not to follow industry standards. And I'm going to tell you what I told her. This is your business. You can do what you want to do. You can set whatever rules you want for your business. And that includes things like what products you make, how you sell your products, and whether you follow industry standards for sales terms and conditions. But having minimums that don't align with industry standards can be a red flag to buyers. It can raise all sorts of questions about your product, your professionalism, your industry knowledge, your experience, and they simply sometimes just wonder why you aren't abiding by those industry standards. Does this mean they won't buy from you? Not necessarily, but it could mean that you have a tougher time getting traction with your wholesale sales. Buyers are busy and they need easy. And when they see a brand that is not meeting industry standards, it creates some extra friction for them when they're placing their order. They may pause the process to ask, why is this different than other brands in our industry? So, in so much that you can follow them, I would recommend you follow them, but ultimately you set the rules for your business and you can do whatever you would like. All right, friends, I hope this information was helpful and informative to you. It is good to question the norms and ask why certain things are done. Just because something has always been done a certain way doesn't mean that we need to continue to do it that way. However, industry standards exist for a lot of different reasons, most of which revolve around setting you and your business up for success. So if you want to learn more about selling wholesale, I encourage you to download my free audio series called Is Wholesale Right for You? They are quick episodes that will dispel common wholesale myths and truly educate you on what you need to know before jumping into wholesale. so that you can ultimately make informed and intentional decisions for your business. Wholesale is not something you want to jump into blindly like I did in 2008, but I learned a lot over the last 15 years through running my own product business and helping thousands of brands scale their wholesale revenue. And that's what I'm sharing with you in this private audio series. Get access by going to prooftoproduct.com/privatepod. That's prooftoproduct.com/privatepod. We'll include that link in the show notes too. All right, thank you for tuning in today. I'll be back soon with a new episode.